Bon anı bir tuhaf. Ne kızım Ege? Selam yine lan.
Check out the sky.
Wow. Wow, ¿más?
Oh my gosh. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Would you do that? I've heard people say, how could a trumpet come from the sky? Hallelujah. Well, there we go. There we go. Because the Bible says, at the last trump. Say, last trump. Oh, hallelujah. We shall be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the sky. And so shall we always be with him. We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is coming, folks. God is coming. We're celebrating Thanksgiving a little early. We're celebrating the time of being thankful. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. What do you do when you're thankful? What do you do when you're thankful? You know, we could go around the room and you know, we might even do some of that. I don't know. I'm just following the Lord here today. We got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? You know? Let me read a couple scriptures to you. One is found in Luke 17. One is found in Luke 17, verses 11 through 18. Nope, that's Luke 11. It's Luke 17. Luke 17. Praise the Lord. I'm always ready to cast out devils, but that's not in my scripture this morning. Luke 17, verse 11 through 18. It is possible I wrote it down wrong for him. Here's what it says. And it came to pass as he being Jesus, it's 11 through 18. He being Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, if you have to get the gist, let me stop for a minute and give you the gist. Samaria is the area that is a realm that's the group there, or what they called in those days, half-breeds. They were half Jew and half whatever, you know. And so they were a poor neighborhood. And then there was Galilee, and we would consider, as far as America goes, and I can say this because my roots are from West Virginia, Galileans were like West Virginians. Okay, that's why they were so amazed when they were all talking these eloquent language on the day of Pentecost. Are not they all Galileans, you know? I mean, how in the world did those West Virginians learn how to talk Greek? So this is where he's going, okay? Through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, if you don't know what leprosy is the disease that rots away your appendages. It starts at your outer appendages, your nose, your ears, your lips, your fingers, your toes. It rots them away from the inside out. It's a terrible disease. The largest leper colony in the world is in Louisiana. So it is still an existent. Armadillos are a carrier of leprosy, modern-day leprosy. It is, at this day, somewhat curable, but not completely curable. There's lepers. They stood afar off, which that was the law. They weren't allowed to come around ordinary people. They lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Now let me tell you something. Jesus never touched these lepers at this time. There were lepers in the Bible that he touched. Why did he say, go show yourselves to the priest? That was a sign that you were cleansed. if you did that, okay? If you went and show yourself to the priest, that meant you were cleansed. The priest would look at you. He had to examine you. If you had a white spot on your face, that was the first sign that you had leprosy. You would instantly be isolated because leprosy is a severely contagious disease. And that's the reason why leprosy is compared to sin in the Bible. It's a type of sin. And so they would see that white spot and they would separate you for 7 days to see if it spread. If it spread, then you would be isolated to a leper place where there was nothing there but lepers because you were going to make people sick if you were around them. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And the reason he did that was because they would be cleansed as they walked. They would be cleansed as they walked. By the time they got to the priest, just by displaying their faith, Eric, they would be cleansed of leprosy. Now, they would still have fingers missing. They would still have toes missing, probably noses missing, probably different appendages that had already rotted off, but the leprosy would begin to produce new skin, okay? And that was a sign that they were healed. The white spot would be gone. Whew, man, I'm telling you. By the way, that was the law. Jesus never broke the Jewish law. It was the law that they do that. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went. In other words, if they would have stayed there, like most people when God tells you to do something, I'm not throwing rocks, but I got a license to meddle. When God tells you to do something, you do it. As they went, they were following what is called the Rhema Word of God, the spoken Word of God. Folks, the Rhema Word of God is where faith comes from. Jesus was literally God incarnate in the flesh, speaking the Word to the people, which was Rhema Word. If Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. As they went, they were cleansed. Because of their faith, they had no sign that they were healed. They had no sign, no lightning bolt hit them on the outside. But as they went, they were cleansed. Somebody say, praise God. As they went. Now, I want you to look at this next part. Verse 15. And one of them. Oh, man, I can already tell my notes are worthless. Check out the sky. My gosh, come on, give the Lord a hand. Would you do that? I've heard people say, how could a trumpet come from the sky? Hallelujah. Well, there we go. There we go. Because the Bible says, at the last trump, say last trump. Oh, hallelujah. We shall be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the sky, and so shall we always be with him. We shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is coming, folks. God is coming. We're celebrating Thanksgiving a little early. We're celebrating the time of being thankful. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. What do you do when you're thankful? What do you do when you're thankful? You know, we could go around the room and you know, we might even do some of that. I don't know. I'm just following the Lord here today. We got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? You know? Let me read a couple scriptures to you. One is found in Luke 17. One is found in Luke 17, verses 11 through 18. Nope, that's Luke 11. It's Luke 17. Luke 17. Praise the Lord. I'm always ready to cast out devils, but that's not in my scripture this morning. Luke 17, verse 11 through 18. It is possible I wrote it down wrong for him. Here's what it says. And it came to pass as he being Jesus, it's 11 through 18. He being Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, if you have to get the gist. Let me stop for a minute and give you the gist. Samaria is the area that is a realm that's the group there, or what they called in those days, half-breeds. They were half Jew and half whatever, you know. And so they were a poorer neighborhood. And then there was Galilee. And we would consider, as far as America goes, and I can say this because my roots are from West Virginia, Galileans were like West Virginians. Okay, that's why they were so amazed when they were all talking these eloquent language on the day of Pentecost. Are not they all Galileans, you know? I mean, how in the world did those West Virginians learn how to talk Greek? So this is where he's going, okay? Through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, if you don't know what leprosy is the disease that rots away your appendages. It starts at your outer appendages, your nose, your ears, your lips, your fingers, your toes. It rots them away from the inside out. It's a terrible disease. The largest leper colony in the world is in Louisiana. So it is still an existent. Armadillos are a carrier of leprosy, modern-day leprosy. It is, at this day, somewhat curable, but not completely curable. There's lepers. They stood afar off, which that was the law. They weren't allowed to come around ordinary people. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Now let me tell you something. Jesus never touched these lepers at this time. There were lepers in the Bible that he touched. Why did he say, go show yourselves to the priest? That was a sign that you were cleansed. If you did that, okay? If you went and show yourself to the priest, that meant you were cleansed. The priest would look at you. He had to examine you. If you had a white spot on your face, that was the first sign that you had leprosy. You would instantly be isolated because leprosy is a severely contagious disease. And that's the reason why leprosy is compared to sin in the Bible. It's a type of sin. And so they would see that white spot and they would separate you for 7 days to see if it spread. If it spread, then you would be isolated to a leper place where there was nothing there but lepers because you were going to make people sick if you were around them. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And the reason he did that was because they would be cleansed as they walked. They would be cleansed as they walked. By the time they got to the priest, just by displaying their faith, Eric, they would be cleansed of leprosy. Now they would still have fingers missing. They would still have toes missing, probably noses missing. Probably different appendages that had already rotted off. But the leprosy would begin to produce new skin, okay? And that was a sign that they were healed. The white spot would be gone. Whew, man, I'm telling you. By the way, that was the law. Jesus never broke the Jewish law. It was the law that they do that. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went. In other words, if they would have stayed there, like most people when God tells you to do something. I'm not throwing rocks, but I got a license to meddle. When God tells you to do something, you do it. As they went, they were following what is called the Rhema Word of God, the spoken Word of God. Folks, the Rhema Word of God is where faith comes from. Jesus was literally God incarnate in the flesh, speaking the Word to the people, which was Rhema Word. If Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. As they went, they were cleansed. Because of their faith, they had no sign that they were healed. They had no sign, no lightning bolt hit them on the outside. But as they went, they were cleansed. Somebody say, praise God. As they went. Now I want you to look at this next part. Verse 15. And one of them. Oh man, I can already tell my notes are worthless. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Okay? One of them, as they're on their way to show themselves to the priest, he notices that he is healed. The leprosy is gone. So he turns around. Let me read the rest of it. And he fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Would you guys take all that off and put verse 19 up? And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9. He notices that he cleansed 10 of leprosy, but the other 9 just went on. And only one came back and said, thank you. I really feel like God is still saying, where are the 9? Where are the 9? Not concerned about the one who came back and said thank you. And the reason he isn't concerned is because Jesus knows what he's going to do. Okay? He says, where are the 9? He's still saying, where are the 9? Where are the people that I have done something in their life and they haven't thanked me? Where are the people that when they get up in the morning and God puts breath in their body, that they don't say, thank you, God? Because I don't know if you're aware of this or not, 3,000 people this morning in America did not wake up. Statistics show that 3,000 people in our country die in the middle of the night during their sleep. What a way to go. Let me go to bed and not wake up. What a way to go. God has mercy. They went to bed, and nobody's promised a tomorrow, Ima. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says you're going to live this and that, and you're going to do this and that, and Don Nicely has 75 years. There's nowhere in there I can find that. I've looked for it. I'm a guy that looks for loopholes sometimes, you know. Business people, they like loopholes. Nowhere in the Bible. Jesus is saying, where are the 9? Why is he not concerned with the one? Because he knows what he's going to do. He knows what he is going to do for the one. This scripture tells me that approximately 10% of the church is thankful. That's 1 out of 10 is a thankful person for what God has done for them. Most are too worried about everything else. Where are the 9? Were there not cleansed 10? There are not found that return to give glory to God except, the word saved means except this Savior or this stranger. And stranger meaning he was a Samaritan. the stranger. And see, like I said, God is omniscient, so he knows what he's going to do. In Luke 17, 19, he said this to them. He said unto him, now he's talking to the one who's got his face to the ground, his bowing at his feet, and he is actually thanking God and worshiping him for cleansing him of leprosy. Arise, go thy way. Here's the part, oh my gosh. Here's the part I like. Go, arise, go thy way, for thy faith, come on now, has made thee whole. What that means, Eric, is because he came back, because he bowed down, because he gave God thanks, his finger grew back. His toes grew back on his feet. His nose grew back on his face. Because his faith, when they unwrapped the bandages, he had a nose on his face. When they unwrapped his hands, he had fingers. Didn't happen to the others. Oh, man, if you could just grab a hold of this, man, I'll tell you, God could do amazing things for you. He does amazing things for Susie and I because we understand this principle. If you can get a grasp of mixing thankfulness with faith, then you can live a wholeness in this world. Instead of always feeling like there's something missing. Some people always have that feeling like something is missing out of your life. Even after you start serving God, you have this feeling that you're not complete. And folks, it's because you have not learned this principle of wholeness. You know, we sing about it. A couple of the songs, especially one of the songs today, just, I give it all to you. You know, you got everything. You know? There was a time in my life when God told me to do something, and I was just on my knees crying over it. Because it was so important to me. And I did it. Because I wanted to obey him, and I know I cannot be blessed one step past the last level of obedience. See, we wanna make sacrifices. You know, when we get caught, we want to tell God, well, God, we'll do this and we'll not do this and we'll do this for you and we'll not do this for, you know, for ourselves. And then we want to make sacrifices when the scripture plainly makes it clear that your obedience, he says, is way better than your sacrifice. He don't require stuff out of us. He requires us to obey him on every level and just have a ground level form of obedience where we just say, God, we're just going to obey you no matter what. If it hair leaps the devil, we're going to obey you. Now, we live in this day, and everybody in this room has something to be thankful for. If I went around the room and I asked you, you know, so give me something that you're thankful for. Or I said, you know, raise your hands if you're thankful for something. Probably most people in the room would raise their hands. Some of you might need to think about it for a couple seconds. And then after you thought about it a little while, you'd raise your hand and say, I'm thankful too. You know, it includes people that just have brand new babies. You know, it includes people that have lost spouses. It includes, you know, a couple that have their child accepted to a prestigious school. And it includes a family that's on the brink of bankruptcy. It includes people that are separating or celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. According to people that didn't make it 1 year. All that list is included. When I say the word all or everyone, that's everybody. no matter what your situation in life is. Even in dire situations, we are called to be a thankful people. More specifically, to be thankful to God. Now, what do we do when we're thankful? That's what I want to talk about. Most of us would respond in some way, and we would say because we're thankful, we react through how we feel and what we do. When we're grateful, it makes a difference in us, and we make a difference in others. First of all, I think we need to recognize that we, as particularly as individuals, have things to be thankful for. We say to ourselves, I am so blessed. But how often have you stopped and said, look how fortunate I am? You see, we don't take the time to recognize our blessing. You know, Greg, when I was a young guy, 15, and basically I kind of grew up and, I don't know, they weren't what you call practicing atheists, but God wasn't a part of our house. And, I was ignorant to spiritual things. I have absolutely no idea Jesus Christ was the name of a person. It's hard to believe that in America you could be that way, but it's worse now than it was then. My dad only used that word when he got mad. And so I didn't know it was a person. I mean, I'm embarrassed to actually say that. It wasn't until I went to church when I was about 18 and I heard him talking about Jesus. I stayed at a house of a family that went to church and they made me go. I'll never forget, the guy's name was Harold. He looked at me and he goes, you want to go to church? I go, uh-uh. I've never been there. And his mom's hollering up, Harold, you and Dad get ready for church. You want to go? No. Hey, Mom, Don don't have anything to wear. Because you had to dress up. Remember them days you had to dress up, go to church? Yeah, you didn't walk in blue jeans. Let me just tell you that much. You had to dress up in them days. Don don't have anything to wear. He's going, yes. And his mom hollers, well, you're about the same size. Give him something. Darn. And so we got dressed. And back in them days, kids, boys wore shoes with heels like this. They were called platforms. You guys remember them? And men wore them. Not me. This guy did. His mom and dad had money, so he wore platform shoes. I was lucky to have shoes. So I'm wearing his platform shoes and trying to walk. My God, how do you walk in heels? Trying to walk without falling down to church and get in there, and I sit down with his family, and the guy starts talking. It was a Baptist church. The guy starts talking about getting saved and giving your life to Jesus. And man, I sit there and I leaned over at him and I said, this Jesus, I said, that's a person? He goes, where have you been? I didn't know. I mean, they didn't talk about it. In my family, we didn't talk. Come on, you got two channels on TV, and I hated both of them. I mean, there's no way I'm watching. Hee-haw! Sorry. I mean, as soon as that stuff come on, I'm out of there, man. I was never at home. I was out hunting in the woods when I was young. I wasn't sitting around watching TV in a bedroom or something like that or texting somebody. My Lord, I'm trying to find a squirrel or something. I'm in pursuit. If you didn't find me there, I was at the lake somewhere trying to catch a fish, But I wasn't sitting around watching TV. So I never knew, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that. Where have you been? I said, I don't know. I just never heard about it, He said, you don't know that he died on a cross? I said, what's that all about? What's that got to do with me? Well, anyway, this guy got up and he explained it. Wouldn't know if I wanted to give my heart to Jesus. And, of course, I went down to the altar and I stood down there. There's about six of us. And we were standing there, and this guy prayed for us. We all went back to our seats, and I went, that's cool. Don't know what it means, but it's cool. So I went 2 weeks in a row. Just so happened I had connected at that guy's house again. I kind of had a little circuit of people to stay with, you know, because I didn't have any family. And my parents were gone. I was out from under the bridge now. I was just happy to have that. And I'm looking for somewhere to live each night, you know, so I don't have to sleep out in the cold. And my friends would let me stay in their houses, usually about once a week. And I had about four of them that let me stay in their houses. The rest of the time I slept on porches, or I would slip in backseat of people's cars and pull the door shut because they didn't lock the door. Get out of there in the morning before they're awake. Sleep on their porch and cover up with newspapers that they were reading the newspaper that day, you know. And just trying to make it, basically. Well, I just happened to be at church again. We went back to that same church. I sat in the same spot because everybody's sitting in the same spot. Sat in the same spot. The guy gave the altar call, and I got up, went down there with three people this time and stood, and the guy prayed, went back to my seat, and my buddy looked at me and says, if you'd get it right the first time, you wouldn't have to keep going back down there. You know, I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do to get it right. I didn't know what he was even doing. The guy's leading me to Jesus. I didn't know what he was talking about, you know. No one talked to me. No one did anything. And then this week, some woman met me at the door and told me off as I was leaving. She was afraid I was going to stay there. And so she told me off and said people like me weren't welcome in that church. And so I left. And it was 10 years before I walked through the door of a church again. I was 27, I think, before I actually walked through the doors of a church again. Because they were all hypocrites in that place. That's what I said. There was one woman, and that made them all hypocrites. Now, before you get too far, I'm not going to talk about a sister, but she had the right to say what she said to me. I did some bad things, said some bad things, made fun of her family. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, I was a heathen, and I was a good heathen. These people that about half be heathens, that's crazy. You're going to be a heathen, you be a good one. You know, I laid drunk all the time. You know, I was a good heathen, man. I mean, I did all the things I could do, and I was a very good sinner. Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, and Ron, I was sucking up every portion of that pleasure I could get my hands on. You know? You young people that serve God from your youth, some of you, I've known you, you serve God. Some of our kids never have walked away from God. You served him ever since you were a young person. The Bible says something about you. It says you're more blessed. Oh, hallelujah. You're more blessed. He says, more blessed is the young one that serves me from their youth. And one of the reasons why is because you won't make all the crazy mistakes like I made. But God will lead you every step of the way, and you will have so many things to be thankful for when you get to the end of your journey. What do we do when we're thankful? Please recognize what you have. Some people don't express gratitude because they take for granted what they've been given. The first step in thankfulness is to realize that we have a great deal to give thanks for. You know, someone may send flowers at a very difficult time in people's lives. And we stop to realize that they didn't have to do that, but they did it. You know, we need to realize in this day what kind thing we can do for somebody else. I actually saw somebody one time bawling like crazy. This is so funny. But I heard this woman just crying like crazy because she went to a drive-thru to get a hamburger and stuff for her family, and the car in front of her paid for it for her. And she's just bawling like crazy. She has no idea who them people were that paid for her meal, but it so blessed her that somebody cared that much. Those are just the tiniest things that we can do to bless, and you need to look for them, because I'm telling you, Brett, they're everywhere. If you open your eyes up to see what you can do, they're everywhere. Now, I, in my former life, I have been a single dad. I had two little children, two little girls, that I tried to do the best I could, but dads can only go so far. Sorry, dads. There ain't much nurturing in me, okay? If my kid gets a cut, suck it up, kid. I'm not kissing it and saying, oh, do you make it better? Mommy's medicine, their lips, you know. I'm saying, wrap a piece of duct tape around it and suck it up. You know? Mercy's not one of my gifts. Let me just say that. And so I'm trying my best. Have you ever had two kids? Maybe you're married. You have two kids and you're in a store and one of them is acting up. They're both little, and you really don't know what to do. One of them's acting up in a store and making a scene and all this, and they're impatient because you're taking too long at the cash register. Well, I had that incident. I went in a store, and I'm sitting there, and there's a guy that has two kids, and he's trying to, one of them is being a little stinker, you know. And the other one's grabbing everything. You know how they put all that good stuff right at the checkout, you know? Well, this kid's grabbing all that good stuff, you know? And I'm going, come on, man. I'm standing there, and this guy don't know what to do, man. And then the worst thing of all happens. This is the worst of all. I don't know about you, but to me, this is the worst. He registers all this stuff up, and he don't have enough money to pay for it. So now he's got to figure out what to put back. And he even said, I think I have some more money in the car. I heard him tell the person that. You know, but what is he going to do with these two kids that are just like really stinkers now? They're both impatient now, you know? And probably the oldest one's about five. And I was standing behind the guy, and I just looked at the cashier, and I said, how much is he short? And she said, $25. And I just reached in my pocket, and I pulled out $25, and I said, here, let me pay this for you. He goes, no way, man. Like, $25 is a lot of money, you know? No way! I mean, $25, I don't even get you Happy Meals now at McDonald's. That is nothing today, you know? And he goes, man, he says, you just bless me. I says, that's okay, buddy. I said, my God blesses me, you know? So I give him the credit. My God blesses me. Folks, if you just open your eyes and look around in this world, you'll see opportunities. But you have to take your eyes off yourself. I know we got all kinds of problems, all kinds of troubles, all kinds of situations. There's all this uncertainty today about where America's heading and if somebody's going to blow up an airport that we're flying out of, and you know, I don't know if you know it or not, but America would be the easiest airports in the world to blow people up. I mean, literally, it would be so easy to blow you up at an airport in America. You can drive right up to the doors in Akron Canton Airport and get in and out. In Israel, you're a mile and a half away from the airport before you go through any gates that does inspections on you before you ever even go near an airport. You think you're infringed upon in American airports? Go to an Israeli airport. You know? Fly there sometime. You know, they just don't let you off the plane. They don't let you on the plane until they know you're secure. You can't just drop people off at the airport. We could load up a car with a bomb, drive it right up to the front of Akron Canton Airport, get out and start walking away, and kaboom, the whole airport go up. That's how easy it is in America. Now, let me tell you right now, I believe all that's going to change. I mean, I had a guy frisk me last week. I went, wow. My wife hasn't been that active lately. Too much information. I'm thinking, wow, you know. I walked out, I looked at Derek, I says, I'm going to TSA and get the card. You know, I'm going through the pre-screening, which is available to us. You know, I have no problem with it. So, I said all that to say that we have such a lot to be thankful for in this country. We just have so much, and we just take it all for granted sometimes. You know, when we're actually thankful to God, we express it to Him. You know, maybe, you know, we give thanks every morning, and I believe that we should. And as Christians, I believe that we should always learn to be thankful. You know, sometimes with friends and usually with God, we can't really pay back the things they do for us. I mean, have you ever been somewhere? I've actually been to a restaurant and went to pay the bill, and they tell me the bill was already taken care of, and they point to somebody, and I look over, and they paid it for me, you know, and I went, cool, you know. But, you know, I may never go out to eat with that person again. I may not get to thank them. I mean, how do you really show your thankfulness to God? I mean, what can you do for what He's done for you to really show Him how thankful you are? I mean, is there anything? I mean, is it raising a hand and saying, thank you, Lord? Is that our gratitude to it? You know, I mean, that's pretty cheap. You know, things I've learned is sacrifices aren't sacrifices unless they cost you. You know, I don't mind if you buy all kinds of things for people if you're not buying it with my money. But real generous people sometimes want to buy things with your money for people, you know, which is called taxes, but we'll get on another subject. It's hard to return the favor. We can't pay them back. And sometimes there's no way to make it equal. You know, I had cancer surgery a few years ago, and 20-some people come and sit in the waiting room and had a riot of a time while I'm in there under the knife. Brandon was telling me they were all laughing and joking and having a good time, and they're cutting my throat open. And the two-hour surgery went 6 hours, you know. They had confidence that God was in charge. And by the way, so did I. And that's probably why they were having such a good time. But how do I pay those people back for sitting there all those hours? I can't. You know? But I can pay it forward. I can offer help to someone else. You know? I was so proud of this church this a couple weeks ago when our dear sister Frida died. That's one of the things I dislike about the senior dinner is every time we have one, there's someone not there that was there the year before, you know. She went on to be with the Lord. And her church provided the funeral service, the lunch afterwards, so that her family and friends could just talk and support each other. And I was so proud of you guys. And I know that her family was grateful that you took care of her. We need to really be thankful for the blessings that God gives us. And even though we can't repay Him, there's no way I can repay Jesus for dying on a cross for me. There's no way I can do that. And I'm just raising my hand and saying, thank you, Jesus, with a little tear and a goosebump on my spine. That ain't it. But what I can do with this life that He's given to me is live it for Him. And that's what He asks, that live it for Him. And that's what I'm asking you today. If you want to be thankful to God, to live your life for Him. Make Him the center. A lady come out with a song a little while back, Jesus is the center. Make Him the center. And everything else will change. Gratitude is more important than a feeling, and it's not even words. But when we're thankful, it affects our whole lives. You know, we can do as our vision of this church states. The vision of this church is to shine the life of Jesus. And that's what we can do today. We can shine His light in this dark world. Would you bow your heads with me?